Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for the moving of Thy Spirit. We thank Thee, Lord, because Thou art sovereign. You stand alone. All things are in Thy hand. No one saith unto Thee, what doest Thou? We thank You, Lord, that all the forces of hell cannot challenge You. We would ask You, Lord, tonight to anoint Thy word. Anoint Thy servant that brings it forth. Give me clarity of mind. I pray, Lord, that You'll give me sensitivity to the Spirit and the freedom in the Spirit. We rebuke every hindering spirit in the name of Jesus. We ask You, Lord, to fortify Thy people. Lord, protect their minds against wandering, sleepiness, and tiredness. Lord, give them, O Lord, understanding in Thy word. Make it precious to their heart and anoint their minds in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Please see how quickly you can find the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel. Speaking this evening on the age of Aquarius, another step toward Antichrist and world government. The age of Aquarius, another step towards Antichrist and world government. The book that I'm reading from tonight is Daniel. Would like everyone to have your place there. Chapter 7. Reading verses 1 through 3 and verse 17 to begin with. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Verse 17. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. Now the question is, who is this fourth beast? I would like you to turn for a moment to Daniel chapter 2. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, also dreamed a dream, but instead of dreaming of four beasts, he dreamed of an image in four different type of metal. In Daniel 2, in verse 38, we read this. Let me start with verse 37. Thou, O king, Daniel is interpreting the dream, art a king of kings, as far as this earth is concerned, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, and the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven hath he given into thine hand, he's made you ruler over the known world, and hath made thee ruler over them all, thou art this head of gold. So he starts with the head, the first kingdom, of the metal gold, and says, thou, Nebuchadnezzar, art this head of gold. That means there's three more kings to follow. And after thee shall arise another kingdom, which shows that he's not only talking about a king, but a kingdom, for there's no king without a kingdom, and there's no kingdom without a king, and he's using the two interchangeably. Inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. So we see here there were two following kingdoms, The first, the breast and the two arms of silver, which was Medo-Persia, the next, the nation that overthrew Babylon. And then a third one of brass, the loins of brass, representing Greece, which overthrew Medo-Persia. Verse 40. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. This fourth king shall break in pieces the other and be stronger yet. Now the fourth kingdom was the next kingdom, and therefore Rome, which overthrew Greece. Verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. I want you to notice, first of all, that he's talking in the days of these kings, plural, shall he set up a kingdom. You can't set up a kingdom in the day of just, when you take a concurrent empires, you have to set it up in one kingdom or another. You can't set the kingdom of heaven up in Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. I mean, you're setting it in one or another, but he used the plural. And there's a reason for that. And by kings, he does not mean Babylon, Medo-Persia, or Greece. Neither does he mean the different kings of Rome, because he's calling each one a king. Now, I'll explain that mystery a little bit later. The kingdom of God that he set up was Christianity, set up in the days of Christ, who was cut out of the mountain without hands and became a great mountain, that is, his kingdom did, and filled the whole earth, which is fulfilled in the millennium. So we see that in the days of the fourth king, he starts a kingdom which is going to grow and finally, by the millennium, fill the whole earth. So in chapter 7, if you turn back there, please, the first kingdom, the lion, must represent the first kingdom also, Babylon. Therefore, the second animal that he saw, the second beast, the Baal, must represent Medo-Persia, like the second metal of the image. And it fits, for the Baal raised itself up on one side, even as Medo-Persia raised itself up on the sides of the Medes, and it had three ribs in its mouth, representing the three parts of the empire that Medo-Persia took. And the third kingdom, the leopard, must represent Greece then. And it fits because it had four heads and four wings. And as a lion had two wings, which would enable a lion to conquer quickly, the leopard had four wings, enabling it to conquer more quickly. And Alexander reached the river Indus in record time, conquered the whole world in 11 years. And yet his kingdom was divided into four generals, four different parts. And even as the leopard had four heads. Therefore, the fourth beast, which was undescribable, must represent Rome because it's the next kingdom in order. But the context is not the context of Rome. The context is clear down at the end of the age. Let's look at verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days, as God, did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Now, this wheel, that is, wheels that turn like burning fire, is speaking of the cherubim. And I won't go into detail here, but in Ezekiel chapter 1 primarily, and 10 and a couple of other chapters, he speaks of the cherubim, which have wheels that are whirling and a fire unfolding within, and a panoply and a canopy overhead in which the Son of Man sits, representing the saints of God, and this is down in the end of time. Let's look at the time key. Verse 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered to him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. This is the judgment seat. We're clear down at the end of time. Verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. Or in the clouds, or with the clouds. The Bible talks about a saints being a great cloud of witnesses. And behold, he cometh with and the saints with him. And here we see the second coming of Jesus Christ. So this is the second coming. In the 14th verse, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. This is obviously talking about the millennial earth. It's the last days. Verse 20 to 22. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, that is the fourth beast, and of the other which came up and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth which spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. Now here he is speaking about the Antichrist, the mouthpiece given to the beast. He's speaking about the 10 kings and the Antichrist. The 10 kings which have no kingdom as yet. You read about in the book of Revelation, on the seventh head, we see the crowns, when the horns, 10 horns, but no crowns. And then we read that they are kings which have no kingdom. And then later we see crowns on the horns. And we see a mouth given, speaking great things, the Antichrist. We're given the length of time, 42 months, or 3.5 years, the Great Tribulation. So in the verse 20, we see the Antichrist, this great horn that comes up. And in verse 21, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. And here we see the Great Tribulation. And then verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom, which is the millennium, which we shall rule and reign with him. Notice the word until. This beast, this horn, prevailed until the saints possessed the kingdom. So it couldn't be Rome, because they did not prevail. The Caesars did not prevail until the saints possessed the kingdom. Everything all the way along shows you the end time. Looking at verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms. But Rome really wasn't diverse from all kingdoms. Rome wasn't that much different than Greece or Babylon. And shall devour the whole earth. And they didn't devour the whole earth. And shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Now, in a sense, there was the known earth. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. Now we look at verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High in the Great Tribulation. And to think to say, change times and laws, and they shall be given to his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Now times is 2, time is 1, dividing of time is 1/2, that's 3.5. Now you say, well, maybe these are the 10 geomantic tribes that came down, the Ostrogoths and the Visigoths and so forth. But they did not exist for 3.5 years only. And yet he's talking about the fourth kingdom on earth. And he says, in the days of these kings, the kingdom shall be set up. Now, Verse 26. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion and consume and destroy it unto the end. Which means destroying the Antichrist government, the very end government. And then look at verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom and the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. That's when they rule and reign with a rod of iron in the millennium. So the mystery is, he says, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and the fourth beast. And Rome followed. But he turns right around and he gives you all the end time of this. All in the end time. Now, does this mean that Rome, the fourth kingdom, lasts until the end and is the same as the Antichrist kingdom? No, that is not what he means, because Rome has not existed until the end. Rome, Greece still exists down there, but there's no empire anymore. Rome is no empire. Little Italy is in trouble down there. And they're not existing until the end. Now, in Revelation 17:10, we read this. And there are seven kings. Now he gives you a new image. Seven kings. Five are fallen. Five are fallen. Go back to world history and say which five world empires have fallen. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece. And one is at the time that John was on the Isle of Patmos writing this. Which one was? Rome. That's the sixth one. But that makes one yet to come. Because after we get through with Babylon, Greece, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece, and Rome, there's still one more to come. We have an extra beast shown in Revelation that's not shown in Daniel. Daniel takes you up to Rome and yet places you clear down at the end. And so you only see four. Two was before that time, which makes six. But Revelation comes along and gives you another one and shows you the seventh. And then he says that when it comes, it must continue a short space. Rome continued a long space. But this is a 3.5-year government space. Therefore, Rome is not also the Antichrist government too. Then does this mean Rome revived? Many commentators take it as Rome revived, trying somehow to solve the problem and this enigma. But no, my friend, Italy is not going to revive and take the earth. And the old Roman Empire is not going to revive. It's dead and gone. It could never be the old Roman Empire reviving. Now, true, many of the religious things in it may come back, but we've had that from Babylon, we've had it from Greece, we've got it from Persia, we've got it all the way back from Nimrod. Well, maybe it's Papal Rome, but Papal Rome is not a fourth kingdom. In fact, it is not even a kingdom at all. Now, there is a Vatican City, but it is not a world kingdom. The Antichrist government is the seventh head of this beast of Revelation. The false prophet is a separate beast, it says, and the harlot is the church which is riding on the beast. It is not Rome. Papal Rome is part of the harlot church system. It is therefore not the beast. It isn't riding on itself. It's part of the harlot. The harlot is not the Catholic Church only, like some have thought. In the Middle Ages, that was a good guess. And it's not just the World Council of Churches we know now, but it is all religions that shall join under the Antichrist in the last days. Now, what is the answer to this mystery? The fourth beast of Babylon, which is the sixth beast of Revelation, because Revelation starts from the beginning, Babylon starts from its own day and goes forward, is Rome. The head they saw of gold was Babylon, which related to the lion. The breast and arms of Medo-Persia, which related to the bear that raised itself on one side. The two arms raising itself on one side. The loins of brass or Greece, which related to the leopard with the foreheads, and also to the he-goat in Revelation chapter 20, in Daniel chapter 8, verses 20 and 22. Just listen, I got it right here. 8:20. They saw another vision. The ram which thou sawest having two horns, remember the two arms of silver? Are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king, Alexander the Great. Now that being broken, he died of drunkenness at the age of 25, whereas four stood up for it. Four generals stood up, and they split the empire in four divisions, which represents the four heads of the leopard. Four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors come to four and so forth. Now, then the legs and feet of Rome are the undescribable, are comparable to the undescribable beast, being Rome. Now, in chapter 2 and verse 44, we see this. And in the days of these kings, plural, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. Now, the kingdom began to be set up in the 70th week of years. In the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, right? The kingdom began to be set up. The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. The kingdom of heaven is within you. And they'll rush it by force, and they storm the kingdom and seize the prize. It began at that time. But Jesus did not complete the 70th week, but he was cut off in the middle of the week. The option was still open for Jews to accept the Messiah at this time and contradict nothing in the book of Daniel. They could have accepted the Messiah. He would have finished the 70th week and brought in the millennium and delivered them from the Roman Empire. But after the Jews rejected Jesus Christ and crucified Christ, then the Holy Ghost gave the Apostle John a revelation that yet another kingdom was coming. Back in Daniel, you didn't see another kingdom. You saw it stop with Rome. It could have stopped right there. God stopped it there and left it dull and oblique and an enigma, because that's where it should have stopped. They should have accepted Christ. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But they could have accepted him. Jesus said, let me dung around the tree 2 more years. The axe is laid to the root of the tree, ready to cut the kingdom down. But they waited. And then when they rejected him, and Paul says, because thou you count yourselves unworthy of eternal life, lo, I turn to the Gentiles. And the zealots persuaded the people to overthrow Rome. Titus came in 70 A.D. They drove the Jews out. And for 1,800 and something years, they had no nation and no kingdom. Now, John saw this through a beast with seven heads, through a vision of a beast with seven heads. So now, Daniel's fourth beast, which is the sixth beast from the beginning, becomes the last also. That head doubles for Rome, but it also doubles for the Antichrist for the last time. You see, in the days of these kings, what kings? The king of Rome, Christianity was established. Christ was cut off. Christianity only lasted, you know, a short time when it plunged into the Dark Ages. The 70th week, the last half of the 70th week is yet to come, when the 144,000, which are first fruits of Israel from every tribe, again are witnessing for the covenant, and at the end comes the millennial period, when the Babylon is thrown down, and the millennial period is at hand.
And at the end, in the time of the Antichrist, this kingdom is a double prophecy. The kingdom is represented down here at the end, and another kingdom is set up. But the other kingdom is the same as the beginning one. The one that started under Jesus Christ, a kingdom is set up. But now, what happens? The kingdom has been given over to the devil. The world lies in the lap of the wicked one. But then, we find out when the time of the Gentiles runs out, Jesus Christ, the day of the Lord shall come, and the day of man is over, and Jesus Christ shall take the kingdom and deliver it up to the Father. And then the kingdom shall be put by the Father into his hand in the millennial earth to have dominion over the earth, and he shall set up a kingdom which shall never end. That setting up a kingdom is both at the time of Christ and at the millennium. And that head is at both times. Now this might seem strange to you, but there's much precedent in Scripture for this. This is much like Joel's prophecy concerning the millennium. In Joel chapter 2, at the end of the chapter, and chapter 3, the beginning, is very positively millennial. It tells you Jerusalem. It gives you the place, the times, the nations coming against it out of the north. It tells you all about it. It lets you know. It's talking about, it gives you even the name of the nations of Russia and Germany and Turkey and so forth. Kingdoms of the East coming across. All that in Ezekiel. And Joel's prophecy is right along with it. And telling you about Jerusalem and God delivering them from the northern army and sending the latter rain and pouring his spirit out upon all flesh. And then Peter got up and let him know this happened at the time that of Pentecost in the first century. But that did not fulfill it completely. It also was happening in the millennium. The millennium was pushed off 2,000 years because they rejected their Savior. The last half of the week went off all that length of time. There was no confirming the covenant after Jesus Christ died for 3.5 years. Joel's prophecy referred to both Pentecost and the millennium. Daniel's prophecy referred both to the time of Christ setting up a kingdom and setting it up in the millennium. Also to Rome and to the Antichrist. It was veiled in an enigma, this double prophecy, because God wanted to show that it should have ended with the Messiah coming. The option was there. They rejected it. He split the week. He pushed the whole thing off 2,000 years. And he said, lo, I turn to the Gentiles. And the Romans 11 says he cut them off and grafted in another. Now, Rome did not fulfill Daniel's vision any more than Solomon and the Shulamite fulfilled the Song of Solomon, Song of Songs. And any more than Pentecost fulfilled Joel's prophecy. God ordained a repeat of circumstances. The 10 tribes, which were then seen as the 10 Germanic tribes that came out of the north, represent the 10 horns down at the end time. 10 more kings shall be there. It's a double prophecy. These horns now exist without a kingdom. The beast is in the forming. The mouthpiece of the beast is alive in our day. The Antichrist is alive on planet Earth and shall shortly and one day take his kingdom. We see in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 5, a beast with 7 heads and 10 horns, and we see that it was given a mouth and it was given a kingdom to rule for 3.5 years. And the Antichrist is a mouthpiece of the world government. And it will be revealed before the rapture. And the Antichrist and the world government shall be healed before the rapture. The proof of that is seen in Revelation chapter 12, in verses 2 and 3. For she, the woman, meaning the church, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder, a sign, in the heavens. And behold, a great red dragon, and verse 9 tells you that's the devil, and having 7 heads, and these are the 7 world empires, as Revelation 17 tells you, 5 are fallen, 1 is, and 1 is yet to come. It's the mystery of the 7 heads. So Satan has 7 world governments and 10 horns, and Revelation 17 tells you that they have no kingdom as yet, but shall give the strength and power to the beast for one short season. And seven crowns upon his heads, one for every head. And so we see that when the woman is painting and the man-child is in the womb, the world government is already in existence. We are going to see the world government before the man-child is brought out separate as a separate company and puts the death sword to the seventh head for a time. And also, we see in verse 5, and she brought forth the man-child, which was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And we read in Revelation 2:26 that he that overcometh will I give to rule with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God into his throne. So before the rapture, we see the world government will be healed. We also see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 3, the same truth. Now we beseech you, brethren, as touching by the parousia, or the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by being gathered together unto him. That's the rapture, being gathered together unto him for his presence. That you not be soon shaken in mind, or troubled, or by spirit, or by word, or by letters from us, the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The Antichrist, the man of sin, shall be revealed before that day come first. There shall be a falling away, and the man of sin come before the day of the Lord comes to collect his people and gather them unto himself. Great forces are now at work to bring this about. You are living in days prophesied by the prophets of old and the apostles of old. Satan tried to use Charlemagne, Napoleon, Hitler, Baha'i, and Lenin to do this, to become the leader of the world government. He tried to make every one of them fulfill the promise, but God broke their hand. The church was not ready. Satan has used the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Milners, Schiff, Warburgs, Vanderlips, Baruchs, J.P. Morgans, and so forth to push world government. And if you think I'm being unfair and unkind, you just read the latest Encyclopedia Britannica, and there's a great big article in there about Rothschild pushing for world government. But now, Satan has mobilized 10,000 organizations to get the job done. And I would like to read to you from a book that has just been published. I've also listened to the tape. The book is really more outstanding than the tape because the person is not Holy Ghost anointed. It's called The New Age Movement, Age of Aquarius, Age of Antichrist. I will not be able, by Dr. David Weber, radio pastor, published it. I will not be able to read all of it. I'll be reading sections of it. Realize that I am skipping. An introduction. Constance Cumby is a practicing trial lawyer from Detroit, Michigan. She is a member of Highland Park Baptist Church. Mrs. Cumby is also a specialist in political science research. Mrs. Cumby has read and researched approximately 1,500 books on the New Age movement, and I wouldn't waste my time with it, but I'm glad somebody is up on it, that relate to the bringing in of a Messiah of all religions and all political parties by the end of 1983. But remember, there's a letting process. This has been going on for a long time. But that doesn't mean it's going to go on forever. Dr. Gavriluk says, and there's talking back and forth, first let's discuss the publishing of huge ads in the Los Angeles Times. This must have been a radio or television series or something, or at least reporters were there at the meeting. Just to name two, concerning the statement that the Christ is now healed, the ads were in the major newspapers and cities throughout the world. Mrs. Cumby, they were in many smaller papers also. Another release from them said they were $800,000 in debt over the campaign. The ads were also very professionally set and laid out, and I later learned they gave sophisticated media kits to radio stations all over the country, and probably all over the world, and those cost a lot of money. Those ads said that Christ was now here and that he came not to judge, but to inspire. He was the Messiah everybody has been looking for, not to judge anybody, of course, all those wonderful people are out there, you know. And for he was coming to institute the New Age. They said it was not a religious program as much as it was a political and social program. Probably 90% of the people caught up, this is in the movement, or in it very innocently, and for what they believe to be fine motives. The devil always uses dupes. The New Age movement is worldwide coalition. Tens of thousands of strong organizations who are dedicated to bringing in a new world order. The main goal of the movement is to bring in a New Age Christ. The glue holding millions of people in the movement together are common mystical experiences. The movement attempts to work with a body, mind, and spirit approach, or what they call holistic approach. This means they attain as many people with mystical experiences who will be susceptible to hypnotic suggestion as possible. This is done through a variety of means such as holistic health and mind control. There is another class of people in the movement who are dedicated to political action. They want to institute global agencies for a new world order. Such agencies are, for example, a World Food Authority and a World Water Authority. I was looking through the 1979 New Age directory, and in the back was a listing of 10,000 New Age organizations, plus their branches here in the United States and Canada. The October 1982 edition of Reader's Digest, page 203, contained a full-page, full-color ad from Lucas Trust, who are the brains of the New Age movement. Dr. Gavriluk, we are literally looking at an organization of all the cults, are we not? Mrs. Cumby, yes, it is a network, and they work together quite openly. They had set a timetable. People need to remember that the times are in God's hands. They can set all the timetables they like, but until God is ready, it cannot happen. I think God may be very close to being ready. Dr. Gavriluk, they wanted 90 of the world's press to find them, then all of a sudden give him worldwide press coverage. That is the New Age Christ. Mrs. Cumby, they have changed their plans. They now say there will not be a specific announcement. He will simply come forward with a great show of power. Lucas Trust, running their full-page ad in the October Reader's Digest, was a sign that they are getting ready to make a move. Benjamin Cream has another extensive United States speaking tour. Several Unitarian churches are bringing him in, and there is activity afoot again. Dr. Gavriluk, we must realize they are going to make a very strong push on this. Christians had better not be asleep. We don't want to think that just because we may not hear much about the occult, nothing is going to happen. It is going to happen, and perhaps suddenly. Mrs. Cumby, according to chapter 13 of Revelation, 666 is the number of the beast. The New Age movement has treated this as a sacred number. The Keys of Enoch, which is really a New Age Bible, says on page 391 to use the numerical sequence 666 as often as possible. The New Age movement uses rainbows to signify the building of the rainbow bridge, Antikorana. They say this is the bridge between the personality of man and the oversoul being defined as Lucifer. Another interesting prophecy, and that's who's in the Antichrist, another interesting prophecy is found in Revelation 13:13-15. Quote, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell upon the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them who dwell upon the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. That has been a puzzling prophecy for many, including myself. until I studied the New Age movement in depth. I have learned that the movement has devoted a great deal of research and attention to use of holographic images. These are three-dimensional images created in space by the use of laser beams. David Spangler said in a meeting in Southfield, Michigan, February 1, 1982, that laser beam projectors has been installed for use on top of the Cathedral of St. John the Divine Episcopal in New York City. I talked to lightning experts to see what holocrafts are capable of, and I was told they can be beamed onto telecommunication satellites. A little further up, they tell about this church and some others, I think, being a part of this movement. The New Age movement has several of these at their disposal. Now, I'm quite sure that's true. I won't say categorically at this moment. When the lasers bounce from the satellite back to Earth, the light rays can be bent in such a manner as to appear that flames are coming from the sky. They can be bent and make it look like flames are coming. These satellites can also be used to project a three-dimensional holographic image viewable by up to one-third of the Earth's surface. There is even sound technology to make the image speak in the language of the areas it is beamed. Of course, we also know lasers can be used as weapons. Now, I'm not saying that is the fulfillment and how it's going to be done, but we do know that the Bible says the Antichrist shall do many lying wonders. The New Age movement writers have all said that the initiation would be the center of the New World religion. This initiation is defined by David Spangler and others as a Luciferic initiation. New Age doctrines say that anyone who does not accept the New Age Christ will be killed. Benjamin Cream has said the initiations will be given on a mass planetary basis in a revitalized Christian church and in the Masonic lodges and other esoteric organizations. The New Age movement is the reemergence of the old Babylonian religions and teachings. The New Ages have said they are working for a restoration of the mystery teachings. Those teachings are, thou shalt not surely die, thou shalt be as gods. She's quoting. A teaching of reincarnation and a deification of Lucifer and an attack on God's word. The New Ages say the world cannot go into the glorious New Age until there has been a cleansing action. That is exactly what Hitler called his extermination of the Jews, a cleansing action. They say that's what the Russians called their purging, and that's what Mao called their purging of 30 million in China as well. They say the earth will have to be cleansed of all negative elements. They define the negative element or evil as being orthodox religion. One of the goals of the New Age hierarchy is to unify Europe. Something I find interesting, the New Age movement has written many articles saying Hitler and Jim Jones are illustrations of the dangers of fundamentalism and orthodox religion. Hitler was involved heavily in the occult teachings. Yet the New Ages say he illustrates the dangers of fundamentalism. As for Jim Jones, I have a collection of New Age articles stating that he also is an illustration of fundamentalism. I have a 1972 New Age directory, quote, Spiritual Community Guide, in which is a list of New Age centers. The role of the centers is to spread the plan. Jones is listed in this directory. People's Temple, Jim Jones. A spiritual community in Redwood Valley, California, led by Pastor Jim Jones, who preaches Christian socialism as the foundations for the New Age. End of quote. You see, they practice one thing and say another. His center in Jonestown featured from a holistic medicine to the mind control techniques, attacks upon the Bible, the teaching that man would be as God and man was not going to die. That is one of the reasons they all took the poison. They thought they would come back. I remember my mother listening to the radio about Jim Jones and being disturbed because he would say things like, believe in Jim Jones. Come to me and believe in Jim Jones instead of Jesus Christ. Alice Bailey, in her book, The Rays and the Initiations, as well as many of her other books, said the New World Order would be a synthesis of the USSR, Great Britain, and the United States. Even Benjamin Cream's book talks about the Aryanism. This is an important component of both New Age and Nazi thinking. New Agers believe that through meditation and other spiritual disciplines, they have become a new species. They believe Homo sapiens are a dying species. Both Nazi and New Ages teach that the Jews are from different solar systems, and Black and Orientals are from different foot race. The New Age movement is completely anti-Semitic, and it's a shame that there are so many Jews participating in that movement. Now, that has always existed. Some of the leading international Jews are atheists and God-haters. Nazism came to power by Hitler appealing to the rich. He told them if he were put in charge, he would increase the power of the rich. He then went to the poor and convinced them that they had their support, he would make certain their needs were met. The New Age movement has obtained the support of the rich and the powerful, such as Chase Manhattan Bank, and heads of major corporations by telling them the New Age teachings are good for business and they will help make the world a better for the business to operate in. They have won the help of many of the poor by telling them they are going to redistribute the world's assets and establish a new world economic order. This is part of what I was talking about when I was saying things like, for the blacks and so forth. It's not because they love you. They're on a plan to a bigger thing for world government. And some people, finally, I want to report victory. It seems that everyone's behind me now. I've gotten so many letters. Everything's kind of straightened out, and praise the Lord. People are just a little bit afraid that maybe I didn't love them, but I do. I just happen to know more than what they knew at the time because they were listening to the mass media out here, reading too much of the Times and the Tribune, and listening on television, not reading the right places. Nazism was absolutely hostile to Orthodox and fundamentalist Christianity. It sought to replace the cross as a symbol with the swastika. The New Age movement is also completely hostile to Orthodox and fundamentalist Christianity. It seeks to replace the cross as a symbol with the rainbow. The New Age movement is even using swastikas themselves. Hitler referred to this scheme to take over the world as Mein Kampf or My Plan. The New Age has called their scheme the Plan. Hitler also believed he was some kind of Christ. He forced those under him to go through occult initiation rites. It has been published that to enter the First Earth Battalion, sponsored by the U.S. military, one must go through pagan-style initiations. They call this the New Age Samurai. New Ages have said people will be forced to undergo an initiation if they wish to enter the New Age alive. It is interesting that New Ages claim to be led by the Force. Daniel 11:38 says, "But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces." The entire occult world is dedicated to the fact that there are forces. Those forces can be manipulated, and God is a neutral force. We read in the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ on page 16, quote, "One may enter fully to the spirit of the God of forces." Reverend Hutchison, "I do not wish to bring up a point of controversy, but the emblem on the front of the New King James Bible is somewhat similar to the one on Marilyn Ferguson's book, The Aquarian Conspiracy." Mrs. Cumby, "On the cover of The Aquarian Conspiracy is a Mobius. It is really used by them as a 666. The emblem on the cover of the New King James Bible is said to be an ancient symbol of the Trinity. The old symbol had Gnostic origins. It was more Gnostic than Christian. I was rather alarmed when I noticed the emblem. However, I am not going to rule out the fact that somebody might have innocently thought it meant the Trinity." Nazis believe their Aryanism roots began in Atlantis. They believe they were also a superior race which survived the cataclysm. New Ages also traced themselves to Atlantis, you know, the lost island of Atlantis. The Nazis believed in reincarnation. Hitler thought he was reincarnation of several important historical figures. The New Ages strongly believe in reincarnation. The Nazis developed a secret file that eventually included a dossier on nearly every German. The New Ages have a similar proposal. "I have heard of several Protestant churches which are considering the idea of initiation. This could be an attempt within the churches promoting the initiation to condition their congregations to accept the ultimate initiation the New Ages wish to give, a Luciferian initiation. At the top of some denominations are very Antichrist people. And I don't mean that as a slur, it's just absolute, total, plain, bold, blatant, mule-faced fact. For anybody who knows the truth about the matter and have read what they have done and said. And I can quote you national publications from big organizations that really blast Jesus Christ and so forth. Hitler used drugs to speed up his consciousness expansion. Many New Agers have used drugs to give religious experience and to speed up consciousness expansion. The longer I read, the more you see how all these things are fitting in and building up for this one plan. Hitler encouraged the organization of young men into the brown shirts for purpose of keeping order in the cities and the village neighborhoods. The brown shirts were trained in martial arts and generally performed guard-type operations. The New Age movement has encouraged the organization of young men and women into the guardian angels for the purpose of patrolling cities and neighborhoods. These guardian angels are trained in martial arts, and in many cities, meditation and chanting have been encouraged as training techniques. The Nazis believed in breeding of children upon the permission of the state. Most top-level New Agers have openly advocated people being licensed in order to have children. Friends of the Earth are especially vocal on this subject. There's already been much speaking out on control and by the government and so forth of children and so forth. The Nazis operated free maternity homes in the interest of breeding a master race. The New Agers have a similar operation known as the Farm, or the welfare department also. You know, there's been a lot of push in the women's liberation movement and others to build government homes for the children. Women are told they can leave their babies for as short or as long period as they like. From a legal standpoint, it's almost impossible to regain custody of a child left somewhere for a long period of time. Of course, the children are available for brainwashing purposes while under their care. Hitler encouraged the recruitment and use of convicts. The New Agers do also. Members of the Theosophical Society were actively advising Hitler through World War II, as well as Tibetan monks, who are some of the spawners of the New Age movement. This really leads me to believe that Hitler may have been set up and used by these people for a much larger plan than mere Nazism. Hitler was a self-proclaimed Messiah who was coming out of a division of the old Roman Empire. He consolidated or conquered all the boundaries within the old Roman Empire in Europe, with the exception of England. He had set his armies into North Africa, and they were speeding toward Jerusalem, trying to conquer it. He was persecuting the Jews just as the Bible prophesied. All the signs were there, so I do not think ministers during World War II are to be criticized for projecting the possibility that Hitler was the Antichrist. He was claiming to be a Messiah. Jesus Christ came back in the person of Adolf Hitler. In fact, I preached a sermon in 1948 in Northern Bible Seminary on the signs of Adolf Hitler being a sign of the Antichrist. Antiochus and then with Nimrod and with Nebuchadnezzar and Antiochus Epiphanes, and looked up to Adolf Hitler and Abdul Baha Baha of Syria and so forth, and that was my sermon at that time. And he was moving just like the Bible says, moving towards Jerusalem, all this. See, the devil has tried to get this thing before now. He keeps trying. I think they were very perceptive. In fact, the New Agers have said that Hitler was their man. In the New Age movement, the New World Order is presented in Alice A. Bailey's book, The Age Movement, The New World Order is presented in Alice Bailey's book, The Externalization of the Hierarchy. On page 191, she gives direction for a nuclear freeze or disarmament campaign. You know what nuclear freeze means? It means we freeze ours, they keep on. Would you stand, please, and give yourself a good stretch? Reach for the sky. Ushers, quick! Okay, you may be seated. This has been a priority of Lucius Trust, who had done enormous coordination work, keeping groups working on this and in contact with each other. That may appear to be good, but on page 548 of the same book, Mrs. Beatty states that the nuclear bomb was a great advance for humanity. See, they say two different things. She went on to say that when the bomb is put in the hands of the United Nations, it can be used when aggression arises, and it doesn't matter whether the aggression comes from nations, states, or just from powerful religious groups, such as the Church of Rome and other religious groups who don't know how to leave politics alone. Now, you know, the liberals in this country are deep into politics. And the Methodist Church and these other liberal churches, they are constantly pushing politics and sending loads of money to political organizations. Yet they are the first of us when Joey Falwell gets up, and they fuss that the moral majority is being dabbling in politics. And nobody's been dabbling in politics and forcing it and lobbying and doing more than they have. They do just like the Russians do. They blame everybody else for being warmongers, not wanting peace all the time. They're out here conquering the world. It's exactly what the liberals are doing. Now the Bible says that when the Antichrist takes over, people shall say, who shall be able to make war with him? Nobody. Why? Everybody's disarmed, and they've got a neutral NATO-type force. Everybody's disarmed, and they've got a world force, and they've got all power, and nobody can make war with them. There's going to be disarmament. Constant push for disarmament. Now, it's difficult to get the United States to disarm because we had too much military. Who wants to give it away? That's why McNamara came along under Kennedy and took away one-third of the American military. That got us a little bit closer. That's why Kennedy came along and made a pledge that, and he got, when he ran for president, John Kennedy said, and I heard him with my own ears, and most of you did too, he said, I promise the American people that I will never have any disarmament without black boxes in Russia, electronic devices to guarantee their part. Russia cannot be trusted. They have broken 585 treaties alone in Korea. But when he got to be president, he stopped all nuclear testing for 2 years without black boxes, without even the concurrence of Russia, without even an agreement saying, now we're just going to trust that they'll do their part. And then 2 years later, they exploded more megatonnage in one day than we had in our entire history of nuclear testing. And then he said, oh, stabbed in the back. We better hurry. And then we were down some more. And then the admiral said, our aircraft carriers are 23 years old average. They said, we've got more than we can handle. We either want more nuclear carriers or less water. And McNamara said, you're not only not going to get any more nuclear carriers, we're going to take some carriers away from you. In fact, you're not going to get any more nuclear ships. They're too expensive. And the same year, he turned around and proposed 40 nuclear ships for NATO, with the U.S. bearing most of the cost. Now, my friend, if you've been reading it all, and I have been reading for years and saving articles and checking and putting everything together, if you've been reading it all, it is no accident that Russia is now uphill and militarily, and it's no accident right now that Reagan is here trying desperately to catch up, and the liberals are constantly saying, slapping his hands, saying, we don't have the money. But look at what the liberals did. In the last 10 years, they brought U.S. industry down by one half, and they brought social services up to one half. No wonder the world's in trouble. And they're trying desperately to keep him from trying to get anything caught up again. This is so we can be blackmailed and pressured into world disarmament. This is why China has been brought into the picture to help pressure. This is why right now China and Russia are going a little bit of blah, blah, blah on the border. So we are now wanting to maintain a parity with Russia, build China up even with Russia so that Russia is not a threat. So we got China to help. And then guess what's going to happen when two communist brothers side and stick their tongue out as you go, blah, blah, blah. Oh, they say, oh, they're fighting. They hate one another. Oh, my friend. Two Antichrist, devil puppet, communists are going to fight each other and let the United States help them? Do you know who attended the funeral of the Russian premier that just died? Brezhnev? The premier of China. Was that the funeral? Now figure that one out. You better believe it. Two in the same pot from the devil. They might be vying for a little bit of power, but they'll get together to fight capitalism and Christianity any day. But they work, divide the pot up after is beside the point. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Ezekiel that the kings of the east shall come across and Russia shall come down, and they shall come down against Palestine together. They're in the same movement. And then they will have two-thirds and we will have one-third. And then won't we look stupid? No wonder world government is coming. It's on the march, my friend, and you better be hid in the Rock of Ages and know whom you have believed and be ready for the out-translation. I wish my father was right here now to sing a song that he wrote about 30 years ago. When the mountain tops and the bottom of the sea flow together in the eve of eternity, when the world's on fire and the judgments fall, and it's too late on the Lord to call. Now that's totally out of tune, but that's the idea. And it goes on and talks about this age when the world's on fire. Brother, you better know who you are and where you are. Someday maybe we'll get music ministry to get it in tune and sing it. I never even sang the song. I just remember about 25 years ago or so he wrote this. And I haven't heard anybody sing it until that length of time. And certainly I didn't sing it. I thought I could do better. I wouldn't have started it. Now, here we go. New Ages have said that the hour of the saving force has now arrived. They define the saving force as meaning the atomic bomb. New Ages have said that once they have the bomb in their hands, they will use it to keep religious groups in line. Now, these aren't necessarily enormous bombs. They can also be smaller ones. They can hit religious headquarters. They can hit the Vatican. They can, churches, whatever. In bands, renegade bands, hit and run to churches, blam, 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 headquarters and so forth. The Lucius Trust was incorporated in 1922 as a non-profit tax-exempt organization. Before it was incorporated, it was known as Lucifer's Trust or the Lucifer Publishing Company, a satanic organization. Because it could not be accepted widely as Lucifer's Trust, the name was changed to Lucius Trust. It has a lovely flower pictured on the top of the page with some type of jewel in the center of it. Reverend Hutchinson said this, Mrs. Cumby, that flower is a hypnotic device. It has a very bright device in the center, which is intended to bring your attention to the center and put you under a hypnotic spell. When this ad speaks of God, it's not talking about the God Christians serve, but rather Satan. Reverend Hutchinson, Mrs. Cumby, the point of light, quote, a reference is to, quote, the point of light, unquote, referred to is what they call illumination, which is the spreading of satanic teachings over the earth. Christ returns to earth simply means the Antichrist. It's actually called calling darkness light and light darkness. Let the plan of love and light work out. The plan refers to their scheme to take over the world. See, they say one thing, but you better know what they mean by it. You're going to be taken up with it. The Bible says that when Satan appears to us, he will appear as an angel of light. And they're talking about that light. The secret doctrine of the New Age movement includes a teaching of the Trinity. The solar logos is higher than the Trinity. They believe God is a neutral force which can be manipulated for either good or evil. The force in the movie Star Wars is a perfect illustration of this. Sadly enough, this teaching has also crept into Christianity. God is not some force we can manipulate. There are many Christians trying to use it that way, and they're being taught for God to manipulate and blessing packs and just, God is not some force we can manipulate. But many Christians train to use it that way, and they're being taught for God to manipulate and blessing pack and just, you learn how to praise power, this power, manipulate blessings of fact, and how you can use God by doing this, sending in so much, having a certain cloth, doing this thing, certain things so many times, this and that and this. But you can't manipulate God. Alice Bailey says in many of her books that the next great war will be the final with the field of, in the field of world religion. They want mankind to develop a new self-image. They stress things such as meditative techniques and environmental concerns. The environmental concerns have focused upon two things. First, slowing industrial development. That's what I mentioned to you. It's already been done. It's been dropped 50% as I brought in one of my State of the Union messages a while back. 50% drop. You want to know so many people out of work? The problems in this nation? Economically, we would be rich beyond all face in the face of the earth if they didn't keep trying to put holes in the bottom of the boat. First, flowing industrial development for purposes which would enable them to say a new world order is necessary. Secondly, using it as a tool for redistribution of world assets. Remember, I've been preaching to you for a long time, but you get everything all sawed up in the banks and in fields and caves and everything. They're going to redistribute. So I'll put it in lands. They'll redistribute your lands. Your money will go into a computer digit thing and you'll be distributed, and all your money and your lands will no longer be yours. It'll be redistributed, and probably in this decade. There's a lot of people, well, and in 10 years of this, and 15 years I'll retire, and so forth. My brother, you better not look for retire. You better be looking to make heaven your home. Other groups involved in the New Age movement are the animal rights group. People believe animals should have rights on an equal level with people. You're wondering why they're out here blubbing all the time about people killing whales, and the government is spending great sums of money. Dr. Newby here in our congregation is in the oceanography group. He tells the foolish money spent. They won't let them drill oil and this so forth. They're worried about animals aren't even edible. They're spending fantastic sums. In fact, the Alaskan pipeline, it has got, and I'm reading this in reliable information, it has got heaters underground. They were forced by environmentalists to put heaters to keep from ruining the tundra. That's right. And they had they were taking the oil spills up there from the pipe. The oil spill is only like 10 feet wide. That frozen wasteland as far as the eye can see, and they're worried about a little bit of tundra and ruining the grass next to it and all of this and hurting the looks of the oil. And some of it goes underground to pick up heat from the earth, and another part of it's got heaters in and all that nonsense. They're running costs up astronomically for everything, and they're trying to protect every animal, on the face of the earth, everything. You see, that's what the whole is about, this wilderness idea. Have a big wilderness out there that don't touch the wilderness. The main reason, they don't want anything developed that means money for the nation. They're doing everything they can to run up costs. They're doing everything they can to cut down industry. They're doing everything they can to build up third world powers. World brother, the whole smear. It all works together as one grand scheme. And people can't see. The devil's got all these different plans. They can't see they're connected. They think they're just interested people in trying to do clean air and stuff. My nonsense. That is not the scheme. Now, they get a lot of dupes. Like she said, 90% think it's a good thing and they're out working for truth. But the 10% behind it knows what's happening and things are being put together for a scheme. LDS played an important role in getting many people to see a New Age perspective. I have observed people being taken deeper and deeper into states of hypnosis and not being brought back out. While they're under hypnotic suggestion, they are told that they are Christ themselves, that no preacher can save them. That's going to make it difficult for them to get saved in the future. And that no man can save them, that the Christ is not Jesus, Christ is themselves. They are being programmed with suggestions that make them walking time bombs. In Detroit, when Cream spoke, he put people in a state of deep hypnosis, and he did not do one thing to bring them back out. That is why many New Agers look very glazy-eyed, as if they have been taking drugs, when in fact they are literally under a spell. Mind control is the crux of it, and that's what holistic health is basically all about. Many people are sucked into this. These people are advocating wholesale slaughter of fundamentalists and Christians. Every town and city in this country has this kind of thing going on. It's coming out into the open more and more. That's Dr. Gabaluk. Mrs. Cumby. Holistic doctors, holistic counseling is all employed to get people sucked into the political structure of the New Age movement. That is simply the, Mrs. Cumby, to see. Well, now we make a big break, and she's answering a question. That is simply the Holy Spirit holding things back long enough to get more Christians warned and alerted. In other words, the letting process. They are on the move, and they say that this time it is not going to fail. Dr. Gabaluk, they have said in their ads that when Maitreya speaks, everybody in the world is going to hear him telepathically. I have heard them say that this is what the world has been waiting for, a Pentecost. Dr. Gabaluk, I mentioned the New Age movement to some Christian friends, and one of them said that he thought it was just another cult. It is very difficult to impress the danger of the New Age movement to a lot of Christians. Though power is geometrically increased because of the thousands of organizations which are linked together in cooperation. Dr. Gabaluk, what is startling is that the secular world is accepting these teachings. The business world is paying for the New Age lectures that the employees might be influenced as to become better employees. Mrs. Cumby, it is not just the employees, but upper and middle-aged management people are being forced to take courses called New Age Thinking. Not only that, they are also encouraged to bring their families and friends to these seminars. The New Age movement is a seducing spirit movement. That was Reverend Hutchinson. Mrs. Cumby, unfortunately, this type of teaching has crept into our Christian seminaries. It is often hidden in a program called cross-cultural studies. It is even in our fundamentalist churches far more than people realize. I have heard so-called Christian speakers read from so-called Christian books that we must learn to be servants of the world. Dr. Gabaluk, I think of the students who are not aware of what is taking place in their colleges. I only hope that somehow the basic information we are presenting will reach them and help them to be aware of what their instructors are teaching them. They're being taught out here, hook, line, and sinker for the Antichrist and the New World Order. The National Council of Churches and the World Council of Churches are listed in the Lucius Trust publications as part of the new group of world servers. Dr. Gabaluk, we are the generation that is seeing these things come to pass. This emphasizes to us that history is coming to a climax, that we are approaching the world crisis which is on the course of the tribulation period the Bible speaks of. That means the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is very near. Associated with that second coming of our Lord is the rapture of the church. The Lord Jesus is going to take his church out. Then the world will be left to itself, and all of this will come to a climax. 7 years later, Jesus will return in his actual second advent to cleanse the world and prepare for its kingdom, not a satanic kingdom, but Jesus' kingdom. Dr. Gabaluk, again. Something that worries me is the fact that so many Christian organizations, churches, and schools are being infiltrated by New Agers. People who look like Christians, talk like Christians, act like Christians, but in reality are not, have gone into these organizations to gradually lead the real Christians astray. Well, that's what the communists did in the churches, in the liberal churches. They went in, they put $17 million in 1 year, I think it was 17 as I remember it, maybe it was only $6 million, into the Methodist seminaries and worked on that and then started to spread out. And it's no wonder that many of the leaders of these groups and even the Presbyterian Church have been strong pro-communists. Now, I say that. You listened to Brother Wimbrandt and others who have come from the Anglican countries, and they've on seminars with these top men, they have found at the top, they found down the line in these churches, in the Presbyterian Church, others, the ministers, very open and wanting information about the communists and so forth. And what happened? They found the leaders diametrically opposed and pro-communist, and they've had some real problems with them. In fact, one of them was challenged by one of these ministers on a platform in Chicago about the Russians and what they do, and he took his shirt off and put his back and said, what is your proof? He said, there is my proof right there. It's been all those years in communist camps being tortured. Mrs. Cumby, if you hear the word New Age, you should pay strict attention. Another thing New Agers talk about is the possibility of a revolution and Christians having a part in the revolution. This is called the liberation theology. The promotion of proposals such as the World Tax and World Peace Academy will be made. They talk about the evils of the old age. Reverend Hutchings, It is easy to see that those who believe in the post-millennial return of Christ could be fooled by this teaching. Those who belong to churches that teach that man must work to make the world ready for the Messiah could easily fall prey to this. Mrs. Cumby, the Masonic teachings are absolutely identical to the New Age teachings. I would like to say, however, I think about 90% of the Masons consider it play-acting only. They don't understand what the ritual means. I have a book by a prominent Mason called The Meaning of Freemasonry, which says, quote, "Now we are going into the age of Aquarius, and so many groups are working for the restoration of the mysteries. We Masons are the proper people to bring these teachings to the world because, after all, this is the same thing we've been teaching all along." Reverend Hutchings, the Masonic monthly magazine is called The New Age. Mrs. Cumby, scriptural knowledge is the greatest defense to the New Age propaganda. And at the very end, the New Age movement, what is it? A, it is a vast network including thousands of organizations ranging from Amnesty International to zero population growth. Secular humanism, ISIS unveiled, there's just loads of them, I'm just going to be reading a couple. Links with Space, Black Lodge, and so forth. There's a New Age movement of the devil, and there's a New Age movement of Jesus Christ. My friend, I have brought this message for this purpose, that we might recognize that the Bible says in the last days that the world is going to be a cage of every foul spirit. And the world will be deceived by the use of religious drugs. If you want to translate freely the word pharmakia, meaning drugs, use of drugs in a religious sense. Now, the whole world is going to be loaded with demons and deceived by drugs. World government is coming. The United States of America is going to be involved in world government. We will live to be a part of world government. The Antichrist will be revealed, but not set really on the throne as yet. He'll come revive again and come in as the eighth head, which is of the seven. Scripture says, and the world shall marvel that has come back in. Now, God is trying to get us freed of demons so we can be without spot or wrinkle and come out of the world and come out of Babylon that we be not partakers of her plagues. Christians that are dabbling in the world, going to E.T. movies and buying E.T. dolls and still sneaking around back alleys and watching on your TV set Hollywood, all of Hollywood's holiness, and all these movies and all the junk and stuff and filth of the world out here, sneaking the devil's music when you get a chance and everything else, I'm going to tell you, you've got demons banging on you, and you better wake up and get delivered. You better get down off of your high horse of pride and crawl humbly to the nearest altar bench and say, I need deliverance. I think that you should identify every area of your life that's causing you a problem. You ought to decide it's demonic, and you ought to attack it on that basis, and you ought to get delivered. We are finding out over and over again things that nobody thought was demonic, or just wondered if it was even. When you attack on that basis, it goes. Over and over again, we'll find that to be true. Now, I'm trying to say the end is near. There's a work that needs to be done. We cannot limp on in blindness and darkness forever, hobnobbing with the world, unconcerned, sleeping. If you sleep on as the virgins, you're going to be part of the guests. You're going to go through the great tribulation, Revelation 13:8, and you will not be a part of the out translation of the saints. There are guests at the wedding and there are brides, and everybody in the church is not the bride, or else there wouldn't be any guests left. And Jesus said the place was filled with guests. I want to tell you, my friend, we're living in very serious hours. The devil is mobilizing. The world is getting horrible. The next 10 years will be much worse than the last 10. There's a work to be done. Let's get with it. The Spirit is trying to tell us something.
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Awake, O thou that sleepest, and Christ will give you light. Come out of her, my people. And remember the scripture that finally says, the bride hath made herself ready. Be praying always, shaking sleep, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man.